Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I've got my friend Katie McGarrigle in the house with me today. And if you want to come join us, hop over to YouTube, type in Tasty Live, come to our channel, give us a like and subscribe to our videos because that helps us immensely. But more importantly, just come chat with us live because we'll be taking questions throughout the show. Whatever you got questions on, from strategies, concepts, trade ideas, trade management, whatever, just come hang with us for the next hour of the day, my favorite hour of the day, because I get to spend it with my friend, the brilliant Katie McGarrigle.
Brilliant.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been a fun week with you.
It has. Thank you so much for joining me. It's much needed.
It brings me back to the old days. I commend, you know, the people here at Tasty Live that do the show every single day, because it's tough. And when, you know, the market's not giving you much, I wouldn't say we're in, you know, the doldrums of, what was it, like 2014, 2015, when volatility was like even more pathetic than this. I mean, I know VIX at 12 or 14 or wherever the heck we are right now is sad, but
yeah.
What I'm trying to say is it is not easy to fill an hour when maybe, you know, the market isn't necessarily helping you out with what to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah, when you got a 10-point intraday range, it is, you know, end of the quarter, which we have our SPX guests coming up at the end of the day today. So I'll be on with TP and Tom to talk about that. But you typically do see, you know, into a quarter end, into a long weekend, it typically is kind of a dull market, and you're seeing that today with, you know, 15 point intraday range in the E-minis. A lot of the bigger ETFs and funds and whatnot rebalancing through this week into the weekend, so it's definitely been a little bit of a chop fest today, but you know, that can all flip on a dime if we get some volatility here.
Yeah, for real. Okay, so we've got the people that are pretty close. I saw the list.
Yeah.
There's quite a few people that are like circling where we're going to be.
It's pretty wild. Our very own Mikey Butler is there with his ridiculous guess of 5,337, which is, you know, I don't think we're getting there today, but it's in the realm of guesses, which is pretty wild. We put together a really cool histogram of all the guesses.
Oh, there it is.
So these are all our guesses. We're all very far off. You gotta love the 20% difference between most of our guesses and where the market is. But if we jump to the next,
why does Tom have stars?
Because he's special.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was like, he's not the closest.
He doesn't even let me like pull this slide up. I put this slide together as like an addition to everything so they could have it. But he usually likes to just have him and Tony on the slide.
How is your dad, by the way?
He's good.
Is he enjoying his semi-retirement?
His 1 week retirement. Yeah. He's got they're going to probably start driving back in the next day or two, the 30 hours or so. So that'll be interesting.
Him, Chris, and Vinny.
And the two dogs.
And the dogs.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why they got the RV, was to...
Oh, for the dogs.
Yeah.
Got it.
I know.
Well, good for him. But I've seen some pics.
Check this one out. We got this histogram. If you guys can jump to the little chart that we got there.
Oh, wow.
Look at this. So we put this together. I love the whole game theory of this whole thing, because first of all, the beauty of a normal distribution playing out in real time, like this is random guesses from people on the internet. It's normally distributed.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Who's saying 3375?
Yeah, that's like on the low end. Hey, that's part of the distribution. That's one cool thing. The other cool thing is that nobody guessed like right where we were at. It's another game theory thing,
right?
Like, so we close at 4775. Nobody wants to guess that we go nowhere. They're always on the one end or the other. It's going up, it's going down. So nobody guesses right there. And then to see, you know, a two standard deviation basically move to the upside is exactly what we've seen in the markets. It's it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know? That is quite intriguing that like it really plays out like in that fashion.
It's poetry. I was talking about it with Ryan. It's like, you know, we talk about this all the time, and to see it play out in real time in some random thing that we do is just awesome.
So. Yeah. Well, I will be tuning in at 2:30 for last call to see who wins. Is it cash? Is it swag?
What's $1,000?
$1,000?
Cash money.
Nice.
Yeah. That's... So big time cash. Yeah. That, and those are Tom bucks. So it's like twice as valuable.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes. And it's a couple steak dinners.
Yes.
Speaking of, I'm going to Maple and Ash for the first time tomorrow night.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've been there for drinks. I have not had any of their food, so
it is. It's a good steakhouse. My favorite is Bevette's, but I would say Maple and Ash is very good as well.
I heard you were giving TP the hot tips for the burger basement at the Izakaya.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't been there for the burger, but that like was our happy hour spot for a minute because of the deal they had at that place.
It's a great deal. It's a great spot. I didn't want to gatekeep it any longer, so I've given it out. It's the spot. Great burger, great drinks, great happy hour. It's a perfect spot.
It's going to be good. All right, well, speaking of these depressed ranges, you want to give us a little market rundown before we get into four trade ideas.
I will give you a market rundown. We got E-mini S&P 500 futures up 3 points, 15-point intraday range. Been a big old nothing burger. We're sitting around the 5,300 mark on the E-minis. We'll see if we get some movement here into the end of the day. NASDAQ down 13. You got the Dow up 26 and the Russell continuing to buck the trend up 21, about 1% here. Oil catching a little bit of a bid forward slash CL, 82.50. You had volatility futures green-ish at one point today, 14.10 right now, basically unchanged. Bonds up 10 ticks. You got gold up $22. Silver up 11 cents. And then Bitcoin doing its moon dance here. The futures are up 2,400. Spot up 1,200 here. I will point out MSTR having a massive move today. It's had some big two-sided action here, down $175.
Oh, yeah.
You got Coinbase going the other way, up $6 or $7.
Yeah, we were, we're still looking good in that because I followed you into that butterfly, looking a little hotter a little earlier, but like you're saying, I'm not mad at this little up move in coin.
Yeah, the butterfly, it's a cheap long vol play.
Yeah,
it's not going to move all that much like this moment. It's up about 20 or 30 cents from where we got in there. Mm-hmm. But if you do get another 10-point move to the upside, I would expect this butterfly to trade somewhere at like 380-ish. So $100 profit.
Yeah.
It's a cheap way to be long vol. And in Coinbase and a lot of these products, the volatility is priced into the upside rather than the downside, because I've done those SPX put butterflies. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thinking. It's just that these products have call skew. So to play the long vol is to the upside. You actually tend to see volatility contract to the downside, whereas in SPX, it's the opposite. You see volatility expand to the downside, typically contract to the upside.
Yeah. I love it. Cool. Anything else on your radar that you've done today other than the trade ideas, which we'll get into?
Anything covered? Not a ton. I have done a couple little rolls. I rolled my PayPal position. I rolled up a call. I did a roll in AMD yesterday and Celsius. But other than that, it's just our trade ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, I did end up doing that Micro Canada that me, you, and Thomas were talking about yesterday. So I got filled on that, and I posted it to the follow page, but at 73.69, so up very, very small in there with a little bit of bounce in the loony.
Yeah.
And then coin, that was the other one I did. I think, was there anything else we talked about yesterday that I did? I don't think so.
Well, we did the copper trade.
Oh, the copper trade I did not do. Where's copper today?
Oh, it's up a little bit.
MHG?
MHG, yes.
Yes, that's the micro copper that Thomas regaled us with in terms of China and tinfoil hats and supply and seasonality. It was a great segment.
Yeah, it's always fun having Thomas. He gives us the stuff that, you know, is out of my wheelhouse. You know, it's just not my normal trading stuff. So I love getting his opinions and stuff on that, and being able to take that and do some trades is fun, because you know those products, to trade them once in a while is great as just a way to gain some market awareness, try new products, see how things move, you know, get that exposure to stuff that I just normally don't, you know, play in.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to add a little spice.
Yes.
Like in a different way than just the spicy crab.
Yes.
Or, you know, other things. He's so interesting as a person as well. Like the 15 chickens thing threw me for a loop.
I know.
Like, I feel like I don't have cool hobbies when I talk to Thomas.
Yes. Like, I am a dull person compared to Thomas.
I'm like, I watch television.
Yeah. Tell you what's happening in Shogun.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't watched that yet. I gotta start that.
Gotta get on that. It's a good one.
For sure. All right. Let's jump into some trade ideas since we have four to tackle. And then we see some peeps in the chat. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Quick housekeeping while we just pull up the trades. But as you all know, we've started to expand our Reddit appearance, if you will. So give Tasty Live a follow on the Tasty Live subreddit. That community is going to start to grow even more. It's a great place for you to meet not only people from like the YouTube chat, but just across the internet. We're going to keep expanding and engaging in that space a lot more. I know you're going to start jumping in there. I have plans to jump in there, maybe talk about some futures trading stuff. So give us a follow on Tasty Live subreddit. There's also a Tasty Trade Brokerage subreddit if you have specific questions for the brokerage firm. It is not sponsored or anything like that, but you might get, you know, some other Tasty Trade traders that can help you with any questions you may have. And then head to tastylive.com/events. We are going on the road this year. Right before the show opened, Nick and I were talking about some of our plans to dominate London when we head there in June. But outside of London, we're doing New York next month. We are doing Seattle. We've got London. We're doing a Chicago show.
Toronto.
We are doing Atlanta, Miami, Los Angeles, Dallas. Thank you for pulling that up, Master Control. You guys rock. But plenty with the group that you see on the screen right now, as well as another show with your Tom, your Liz and Jenny, Vanetta, the Where's Bat Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, just back on the road. Come hang.
It's awesome.
Spend a Saturday morning with your favorite tasty peeps.
I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, it's Saturday morning, you're out by noon.
Yeah.
You can go have lunch. Like, it's a no-brainer.
Network with some new people, learn a couple things along the way, and it's all free.
Yes.
All right. What are you looking at trading today, my good sir?
All right. We got a couple trade ideas. 2, 3, 4. I did two. Kind of, they're certainly not spicy trades, but I've been trying and getting a lot of questions about, you know, volatility being low in this market. What are you trading? What do you do? Do you change things up? And, you know, we kind of talked about that the other day of, you know, there's nothing that changes with the strategies. You just kind of got to be a little bit more selective. So
sure.
I'm looking at two, and I'm sorry, this should be all May. Obviously, I messed this up. I can go.
Didn't have enough coffee today.
Yeah, well, I did have enough coffee. I'm about 2.5 cold brews deep, which is a half more than I usually do.
I would have a stomach ulcer.
Well, you know, that's, you know how my dad drinks coffee.
That's
too
true. So it's genetic.
It's genetic. I'm looking at Meta. It's had a little bit of a pullback from the highs. The high being somewhere around like 510-ish. Let me give you the high. High of 523. It had this pop on earnings. It's come back a little bit. I'm kind of playing for a range-bound move, maybe a little chop fest for the next month or so here.
Chop fest.
A chop fest.
I like that.
420, 410 put spread. The 570, 580 call spread. I messed up that and didn't put the calls in there. I am off my game, peeps. I'm sorry. It's been a busy morning. But this is an iron condor. I guess if you wanted to do the long put spread, it's this synthetically the same thing. It would be a condor. So same sort of position. I'm selling around the one standard deviation for the short options.
Okay.
Going $10 wide, collecting around one-third the width of the strikes. It's just kind of like a mechanical, typical entry for an iron condor type trade. 50-some-odd days to go till expiration. Mm-hmm. It's very much in the you know, our mechanical entry for a short premium position.
All right. Yeah, I'm not mad about it. I also have a tech trade-on that we'll get into. But like you're saying, it doesn't always need to be the most earth-shattering, creative play on the board. Sometimes you just want to engage in a way that is mentally not, you know, too much of a load.
Yes. Yes.
All right. And then what, that's May?
That's May.
Okay, so a little over 45 days, but like you're saying, like, you expect to be in this for a while and just let time kind of pass.
Yes, and you will have earnings coming up because everything's got earnings towards the end of April, early May. You know, ideally I'm out before then. If not, it's certainly something that I would be comfortable holding into earnings to find risk, you know, $700 in total risk. Well within my wheelhouse.
Sure. All right, cool. What else is on your radar?
My second trade, very similar. I'm looking at Google here. Google Ivy Rank 64, so it's on the higher end. Very liquid. It's in a good price range for my account size, $150 stock. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the perfect mix of high enough premium, you know, you're getting paid to take some risk, as well as not using a ton of capital. Totally. So I'm using $1,500 on this strangle. I'm doing, again, one standard deviation. I'm looking at the 135 put, the 170 call. The 135 put is right around kind of the lows of where Google has been trading over the last 5-6 months or so. 170, of course, would be a new high here. I sold this at $327, $3.27 credit. My God. So, you know, it's a high return on capital potential here, about 20% potential return on capital. If you manage that 50%, it puts you at like a 10% return on capital. So very capital efficient, good amount of premium, high IV rank, liquid markets. You have flexibility to manage this. You're getting paid to take risk. I like the setup.
I dig it. Yeah. That's, I mean, at $1,500 in buying power, like you're saying, for $320, that's pretty decent.
Yes.
I do say so. And like you're saying, you were able to encapsulate a lot of the trading range.
Yes.
Cool. Not too shabby. I might have to think about that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, switching gears, I forgot which one I put first. Okay, so I'm also looking at a tech stock. I have not been dabbling in these all that much. I'm just playing for a very simple bounce in Apple. I know you guys love your diagonals and things like that, but like I'm just a debit spread girly with the classic verticals. We'll see how this shakes out. I've got time on my side, though. So the one nice thing about Apple, of course, is the liquidity, and therefore I was able to actually go to a weekly expiration for this trade. I actually parked myself in the expiration that is supposedly going to have the earnings announcement, ideally to hopefully capitalize on an expansion in volatility over the next 36 days. We'll see how that all shakes out, but just doing a classic 10-point wide long call spread. I'm long the 170 call, short the 180. I only paid 406 for this. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a better max profit than typically how we do these. Mm-hmm. But just kind of hoping that we see a little bit of a bounce in Apple over the next 35 odd days or so, and that I can, you know, squeeze out 150, $200 from this thing.
I like it. And Apple is certainly liquid enough to go into the weeklies. I know we typically go to the monthly expirations. Across the board, they are the most liquid. Mm-hmm. But in something like an Apple or SPY, or even if you look at like Meta or Google, those are liquid enough where you can trade any expiration you want. So
And I didn't chase this thing.
Yeah.
So like I said, I mean, I just haven't engaged in this space in a while. Didn't really want to sell a whole lot of premium earnings. And with Apple trading kind of near its lows, this was just a simple way for me to get a little bit of long delta. I think when I set this up, I got like synthetic long 27 shares. Of course, that will change because options are dynamic, but a little bit of bullish in Apple.
I like it. I am long Apple as well. It seems like it is just like left for dead and nobody wants any part of it. So
I know.
I think it's an interesting catch-up trade, so I'm with you.
Yeah, for sure. And then looking to my futures options, I feel like I was obligated to share something with you. It's no secret that gold has been on an absolute tear to the upside. And unfortunately, I just couldn't find something that would really give me like a whole lot of short delta without like taking the other side. So I landed on just a classic 15 point wide iron condor. Obviously, there is significant call skew in these futures options, so my call spread was a lot richer than the corresponding put spread, but I felt okay putting the put spread on because I feel like I still have a decent amount of room to the downside if we actually do get that directional pullback and a little bit more weakness in gold. So I've got the 2160, 2145 put spread in the April 25th expiration. That's about 28 days to expiration at this time. And then the 2280, 2295 call spread collected 1/3 the width of the strikes. So picked up $500, max loss is 1,000. The buying power requirement on this, because of those span margin and those futures options at this time, was only $550. That will change as time goes by, as my position is tested, as volatility changes. But a decent, you know, return on capital if you're considering using the futures options.
I like it.
Yeah.
I got a little short delta in gold, so.
Okay.
I guess I'm kind of with you. Yours is more.
I'm pretty neutral.
Pretty neutral.
But like in my heart, I'm bearish.
Yeah.
But I just don't want this thing to like absolutely dump.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
Gold up 25 right now, high of the day.
For sure. The only thing that, like, I also considered, but, like, it kind of quickly removed it from the equation was, of course, looking at a corresponding ETF like GLD. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't really enough premium for me to participate in a meaningful way other than if I wanted to do, like, a long put spread or something along those lines.
Sure.
So that's why I just stuck with the gold futures options. It is a pretty liquid set of futures options right now, 2 or 3 ticks wide. So course, as you add more legs to the spread, consider the differences between the natural price and the mid price. Be thoughtful about your trade entry. Don't go chasing too much, but I got filled fairly easily here, especially because my short call spread is at the 30 delta and my short put spread's at the 14-15 delta.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So in that way, it's a little bearish.
Yeah.
But new delta wise,
very small amount of delta.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So that's 4 trade ideas. See, even with Mikey here, we can, you know, churn them out. Or not here, I should say. Sorry.
He's sort of here. He was chatting me this morning.
Oh, is he?
Through Teams. So.
Okay.
I think he's, you know, itching to get back.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's had enough of the gnar.
Yeah.
How? So. Fair enough. Well, we will welcome him back with open arms next week. But in the meantime, let's go head to the chat. Let me find one. We can pull it up on the screen. Okay, a question from Ben. Can you sell a covered call on restricted share units?
Like as, I don't know what restricted, in what way are RSU? I don't know what that is referred.
We'll have to take a...
Like if you're holding, if you're an insider sort of thing, like, is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe give us a little more detail, Ben, and we can see.
Yeah, I will try and do a quick search on it. But frankly, if you have any sort of restriction with your shares, you would probably not be able to sell premium against it just because you would have the risk of having to, you know,
deliver
that.
Yeah.
So I would say just by the wording that it sounds like you probably can't, but I would need more info. I don't know what that refers to.
Sure.
Stumped.
All right.
A rare occurrence, if I may say so myself.
You're a smart guy.
Thank you.
Okay. I wholeheartedly believe that you are able to wax poetic on this stuff like I cannot. And maybe it's because I'm out of practice, but You're a smart cookie.
Thank you.
Don't sell yourself short. All right, from Larry, I have an April 255 SMH straddle. I've collected $5 in credit. I would like to roll to May, but I can't get enough credit for a wide enough strangle. Your recommendation, roll now or wait for theta.
I'm hoping this isn't 255 because we're trading at 225 and it's never been at 255. So if you've been rolling, you're too aggressive with the rolls if you're up there. If you're at like 225 or closer, you know, somewhere within the 200 to 235, 240, it got as high as 239. So let's say 240 being the max of where you are in the April cycle, it's certainly time to roll. I mean, when you roll, you can move the strike. So let's say, you know, you top ticked it and you rolled your put up and you're sitting at 235 here. You could buy back this position, roll out to April, and adjust the strikes to reduce some of that exposure. You could either do it via rolling down the call. You can roll down the entire position. So, you know, rolling to the 225 straddle for $4 and change credit, you're flattening out your delta. You can even see here that you're going from, you know, you're reducing your overall position delta by 30 by going to the straddle. So if you're, whether you're on the downside or the upside here, you can adjust those strikes, whether it be rolling up the untested side or rolling down the untested side if you're on the upside, or just moving the entire position to an at-the-money position, which is good because you collect more premium, you're getting as much extrinsic value as possible.
Okay, fair enough. Let's see, all right. On the MetaTrade, so this is from your trade idea. If earnings is before the May expiry, the options will retain a lot of value until then. What profit target are you expecting?
So it's the common assumption is that with earnings coming, that volatility is going to increase. And that assumption is correct in some ways, right? You typically do see volatility stay bid or increase into a binary event like earnings. The problem is that it doesn't necessarily mean that option prices will stay high, right? You have to keep in mind that we still have almost 30 days of time up until the projected earnings.
Right.
So it's really a question of like, is volatility going to increase so substantially that it's going to offset 30 days of time decay? And for the most part, with a spread type trade, you don't, you know, you're not getting a ton of theta decay. And this position is probably like $1, a couple dollars, $4 a day in theta decay. But on the flip side, your exposure to volatility is very low here because your defined risk, it's $10 wide. These options aren't going to move all that much. So net-net, if the stock chops around and stays, let's call it between 470 and 520, you know, 20 or 30 points in either direction, I would expect this spread to come in, you know, $100-ish over the next 30 days. So that's kind of my target.
Okay.
And that's generally my target on most short premium positions, somewhere between 25 and 50% of the max profit.
All right. I think that was very well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see, James, what is going on in corn? I have not looked. So what is going on in corn?
It's
corn up 4% today. Yeah, nice little pop in the crop, if you will. let's see here. I have not been trading this all that much.
It literally just popped as we at 11 a.m. I don't know if there was some sort of
atypical situation so far in 2024. Let's see. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I'll have to go and read through it. Thanks for putting this on my radar. I wish I was long before the announcement of whatever is happening. But yeah, I have not dabbled in corn very recently, but I'm sure it's got to be some type of like planter's intentions or some type of supply, seasonality.
I have an at-the-money short put spread.
Oh,
part of the
next big
three trades.
The market is anticipating the March planter's intentions report on March 28th.
Mm.
So that is probably what is happening here.
Yep.
For those of you that don't know, and I'll try to find the you can use the search functionality on Tasty Live. I'll try to find it after the show, but back in the day, there was definitely some stuff that Pete did about Planters' intentions and basically like the ratio, if you will, of corn to soybeans. So in a lot of areas, the crop could be kind of interchangeable. So depending on like what's going on in the markets, the farmers can kind of flip-flop how much they're planting of corn or how much they're planting of soybeans.
Okay.
So I'm assuming there's something going on with that. But anybody in the chat that knows that space really well, I know there's a few of you that sound off from time to time, would love to hear it a little bit more. lots of gambling talk, it looks like. Some parlays.
Of course.
Where are you watching the games tonight? That's a question for you.
Are there games tonight?
Is the UMI game tonight?
I thought they flip it to Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, maybe they did.
I don't know.
Okay, here's one from
But tonight's
look.
Bowling night. Thursday bowling night. Come on.
That's right.
But we had last week, we had all four of our phones on different games. So we had like
a little mini screen.
We used one of the seats because we have like the seats on the side, and it was strictly like just like a multi-screen,
bowling and gaming area.
Yes.
Love it.
It's perfect.
Well, I hope it goes well for you tonight.
Thank you.
Going back to coin, would you do an Iron Condor on coin?
You certainly can. It's one where if you're going to do a equal width Iron Condor, you should look at the deltas of where your calls are, because if you're doing this just as a 25 points out of the money or 50 points out of the money, you're going to lean pretty short just with that because of the call skew. So just for example, the 30 or the 20 delta short put is at 230. The 20 delta short call is at 335. Mm-hmm. So the put is $37 out of the money. The call is $60 out of the money. So if I was doing something like an Iron Condor, I would skew it so that, you know, you are playing similar deltas versus equal widths. And something like this, I'm looking at April here, you could do this in May, but selling somewhere around a 20 delta for the short options, going 10 or 15 points wide, that's sort of how I would structure it here to take advantage or at least play into some of that skew. And we can, I'll show you this with removing my butterfly, but what that looks like. So these are equal, and you can see your delta is more flat this way just because of that call skew on the upside.
Right. Okay. So doable, just some things to note.
Yeah.
Not sure if you know the answer to this one, but I'll ask anyways. Thoughts on keeping sideline cash in a 1 to 3 month ETF like CSHI or BIL instead of just cash?
Sure. I'm familiar with the other one. I'm not so familiar with. If you have a lot of capital, it certainly makes sense, especially if you're able to allocate X amount to BIL as well as keeping cash available for other opportunities. Mm-hmm. That's not something that I have the luxury of in this account. You know, if I had $1 million account and your portfolio margin and you're using 25% of your capital in trades because the VIX is low and you want to put, you know, 250 grand into this for 3 months, I say go for it. Makes total sense. You still got enough capital dry to take advantage of market moves and put new positions on and not worry about buying power expansion, et cetera. In a $30,000 account, for me to put, you know, $1,000 into BIL, it's just not cost effective for me.
Sure.
Like, it just it won't move the needle at all. So, you know, for somebody that has a little bit extra capital, I say go for it. I think for the majority of people, the flexibility of being able to withstand buying power expansion in my own positions, as well as quickly be able to get into a new position if something happens and if there's, you know, something that piques my interest, is more valuable than the you know, a couple dollars that I might make on a small amount of capital in bill over the 3 months, you know. But it's, they're certainly, you know, interesting if you have capital.
Sure. Let me see here. Is there a way to check the ETH and NASDAQ correlation? And is it a sound strategy to hedge my long NQs?
So you can do, so like ES and SPY, you can use the, I mean, these are going to move basically into.
Yeah, like they're practically, the, you know, very highly correlated to one another. So, okay, keep going.
Yeah, so we do have the correlation to SPY for the ETFs. The futures, all the stuff with futures gets a little bit more difficult because they're not static.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they have set expirations and those contracts and that product goes away, right? They expire and that's done. And then you're trading something that's technically new. With ETFs like SPY and QQQ and stocks, you know, the price now is correlated, is completely the same as in the future in terms of like the product you're trading. You're trading one share of Apple now, it's one share in a year. So with futures, it gets a little bit wonky in that sense that they're not, you know, they're derivatives almost, they expire. So if you're looking for correlations, I would just use the corresponding ETFs. Again, E-minis and NASDAQ, the weighting of the two of them is, you know, the same seven stocks. So they're gonna basically move in the same direction.
Okay.
You know, IWM is one that you'll see a little bit less correlation. You can see here, you know, the small caps, 0.67 correlation. I imagine the Dow is probably a little bit lower too at 0.8, but still very high.
Yeah.
You know, market, when you have big moves, it, typically in either direction, it correlation gets tighter, and we've seen just a straight up move in basically everything. So everything's pretty highly correlated now.
Okay, so you're saying like, because this is like a crypto specific question, like, do you think or can we surmise?
Oh, I thought it was ES.
ETH. So they have long NASDAQ and they want to potentially hedge with like an Ethereum ETF or like, or with the ETH futures.
Or like the spot.
Yeah, I don't know how closely correlated the crypto and the equity markets are. We can definitely look.
We actually, we did that in the cherry picks on Tuesday. There isn't a...
I'll drop the article from the...
Yeah, there's not a huge... We focused more on like... we focused more on the big moves in Bitcoin and how that correlates to SPY. And we typically see that they do... When they have big moves, or when Bitcoin has big moves, it typically corresponds to big moves in SPY.
Okay.
The overall correlation isn't totally significant, so there wasn't that much to gain from that. It was more so saying, you know, if Bitcoin is having a huge move to the upside, it's likely that SPY is having a huge move, vice versa the downside. If it's having a greater than 5% sell-off in Bitcoin, SPY is going to see some sort of volatility as well. That was kind of more of the takeaway.
Okay. I dropped the article in the chat if you want to look at it yourselves.
ETH is a tough one because you obviously don't have the what is it? The ETFs for like we have with Bitcoin.
Yes.
So you don't have that easy access for ETH. The futures are a little bit funky, so your ETH normal futures, which is /ETH, is 50 coins. So it's 150 grand notional value. It's huge. The micro, which is M-E-T, I believe. Yes. The micro is 1/10 of a coin. So it's $300 notional. So you have
one that's huge.
One that is massive and one that is minuscule.
Yeah.
Like, this, in my opinion, is untradeable, especially because there's, you know, the commissions and fees on it are just not conducive to trade. So it's very hard to do anything other than spot Ethereum, you know, just buying cash markets.
Yeah, makes sense. Well said. Any plays on ES or SPX for next week? given that PCE is released after market close?
Yeah, we can look at some, God, look at this volatility. Absolutely nothing. And there's nothing projected in
SPX?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What day is PC? Is that Friday of next week? Something like that. I can look that up.
April. I can't believe we're already in April.
I know.
What day?
Either way, definitely something we can look at on Monday with Mikey back. He's the double calendar guy, so maybe we'll find something like that. But yeah, volatility super super low. It's not something I'm gonna lay into here.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Is it tomorrow? I think the next release is tomorrow.
Wow, during the holiday?
That's what it says on BEA.gov.
Wow. That's kind of odd.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe like not something you want to carry like going into the long weekend.
No. We'll take a look on Monday and see if there's anything else. I'm just looking here. I like got a couple Fed things. Oh, PC March 29th. Yeah, very odd.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right.
Okay, let me get this one up. Okay, so this person has never rolled before. I have, my bad. Hold on a second, let me fix this. There we go. All right, I've never done rolling before. I have 100 PayPal at 61.5. I sold an option in April at 130.
And it's $2 in the money.
I'm wondering if I need to extend the time to May. And then they're discussing or weighing their options in terms of which strikes to choose.
So I'd guess that you have like the 65 strike if you're in April and it's around $2 in the money. Stock has had a nice little run here. I actually just rolled up puts here. One way you can look at or at least think about this option that you have, which you're short, the 65, is that you have about a dollar left of extrinsic value. So all else equal, with the stock at 67.50, mm-hmm. if it were to go up to 18 or to 68.50 over the next 22 days, you'd be no worse off because you're going to get that dollar of extrinsic value. That would be a net zero. So it wouldn't hurt you. That said, you are kind of close to at the money or around that 20-ish day time frame. Mm-hmm. It's probably time to consider rolling. What you can do, and assuming that you want to hold the stock and own the stock for a little bit longer, you can move this strike to closer at the money or even out of the money. For example, rolling to the 70 strike here, you have limited flexibility here because you have $2.5 wide strikes at the moment. You'll probably have more of those open up once this April expiration falls off. But if you roll to the 70 strike for 23 cents, you might think, okay, well, I'm doing this for a debit. It's costing me money. Yes, it's costing you 20 some odd dollars to do this, but it gives you $5 of extra buffer room to the upside. You're still holding $3.50 of extrinsic value that's going to decay over time. So if you get, a pullback, that value is still going to hedge you. You're rolling this value forward. You're moving the strike out of the money. You're giving yourself more room to be right.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be as bullish, you could roll to the 67.5 and collect another 87 cents in premium. Mm-hmm. Again, that roll from 65 to 67.5 also gives you $2.5 more of intrinsic value on the stock. So you get kind of both. Both of those you can certainly justify doing. They're not hugely different. It's about a dollar of extrinsic value difference versus $2.50 of potential intrinsic value. So, it depends on how bullish you want to lean.
Yeah. High class problem.
It's a high class. Yes. Yes.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. I think we're basically, we've hit all of our questions. So while we wait for a couple more to drop in.
Yes. I see one from David saying that he's got a PM account. which is portfolio margin, uses a lot of that in S-Gov, which is another one of those short-term T-bill ETFs, and then sells premium against it. The one of the great things about these products is you get a ton of leverage, meaning that you don't have to put up a lot of capital to hold these T-bill ETFs. So one thing you have to keep in mind is that if you then go and use that buying power for buying premium or buying stock, that is going to be margin.
Yeah.
If you're selling premium, your short premium you're selling, you're not, you know, that buying power used is not going to cost you anything. So you have to be careful with that dynamic. If you're, you know, the buying power relief that you're getting on that is very huge. It doesn't necessarily mean that you won't be using margin.
Sure.
If you're starting to buy stuff, because you can't both park it in T-bills and then buy stuff. You can park it in T-bills and sell stuff, mm-hmm. which is what short premium is.
Right. A couple of underlyings people said we can take a look at. Of course, SMCI, Robinhood, RH.
Yeah, SMCI has had quite the little bounce back. Hood.
Oh, wait, sorry, RH. So that is, I don't know what that is.
RH, yeah, I think it had earnings yesterday. I do not trade this. I haven't seen this. Not, I mean, 50 cent wide markets, but.
Restoration Hardware?
Is it?
Maybe. Yeah.
Look it up.
I think so.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm. We can take a look at the.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Restoration Hardware.
Yeah. So yeah, retail, furniture, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. It looks okay. 3 million shares traded, options are 50, 60 cents wide. I mean, they're not highly traded. You can see most of the activity coming today is, you know, 100 contracts here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that jumps off the screen at me.
Something you want to dabble in?
I saw a question on my MSOS cover call. I do still have that. So I am short the 9 call. I've rolled this down. So I bought stock and sold the 11 strike call at 778. I rolled down the 11 strike call to the 9 strike for 34 cents. So my basis here is like 750-ish or 740-ish. 744.
Okay.
The exact.
How long have you been in this? Sorry.
It's been about a month.
Okay.
So I've got 22 days left until expiration, about 60 cents left to make on it. I am up about $100 on this. So it might be one where I try to route an order to close this with the stock right here. Let's do it at 844. This will put me at exactly $100 profit on this. So good catch.
Nice catch, yeah.
It's had a little bit of a move here recently. That's good. Yeah. All right.
All right, question from Tim. Which do you prefer? Can you contrast a $2 wide vertical in the Qs versus TQQQ? Same delta for the short leg. Any thoughts?
So TQQQ and all of the leveraged products. So this is on anytime you see Ultra, anything, those products are leveraged, so they move in multiples of whatever the day-to-day price movement is of whatever they track. So here I think TQQQ is 2x, if I remember correctly. Might be moved to 1.5x if I remember. Let's see if I could find this. I'm sorry, it's 3x.
Mm.
So it's a big one. So anytime you have these products, you're going to see obviously high volatility, but the premium in these is not going to move all that much. So, you know, if you're selling spreads, especially tight spreads, they're going to be very, very binary in these products because it's based on the day-to-day price movement rather than, you know, the, and it's a multiple. So like you're, up days are way, way more substantial than your down days. That's why you have some call skew here. These products, I think, are more just long premium. If you're trading the ETF QQQ, you're more than welcome to sell premium there, because that is you don't have the leverage there. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're trading anything leveraged, VXX, UVXY, TQQQ, SQQQ, any of these leverage products,
I
lean towards just long premium. If you want to play the upside, you buy the calls. If you want to play the downside, you buy the puts and trade it. You don't want to, you know, keep these for long periods of time, because they tend to underperform even on long time frames.
Yeah.
Can look at it here. So you can see TQQQ has gone from, you know, let's call it, we'll go back to 2020. You know, it's gone from $20-ish to 60, so it's about a 3x QQQQ. Oh, I put 4 Qs. Oh my God. Has gone from, you know, 200 to 440. So they've been pretty similar, but in the recent time, it's a little bit underperformance. And you can see that here, because you have these big moves.
Tritana, basically kind of doing what we talked about. I think it was yesterday on the show, maybe it was Monday, but they sold the 212.5 230 credit call spread in GLD. So this goes back to a question that we had with respect to, like, how do you define a wing, and when is it like a synthetically naked trade versus a spread in my eyes? So to me, this is almost kind of like that, the former, like where it's basically like you're selling a naked call, but you're buying a cheap wing in order to cut your buying power, you know, in half. So if they just did the 212.5, that's like what, over $3,000 in terms of buying power.
Mm-hmm.
And velocity is historically to the upside in gold. So I think they did, you know, some nice pre-work in terms of this trade, in the sense that they're buying that cheap, wing for 10 cents, cutting the buying power down to only $1,600, and also capping their max loss in case we do kind of continue to see some strength in gold.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, I don't know if $1,600 in buying power is worth 94 cents, but everybody, you know, has their own trading style, and maybe they've done a couple contracts of this. I don't know. But
yeah,
at the very least, they've been thoughtful about chopping the buying power requirement for a synthetic naked short
call. Yeah. This is certainly just a wing to reduce capital. You're not playing for, in the next 22 days, gold to be up 15%.
Totally. Like
that's, you know, if you were playing for that, you'd have a totally different position. So this is more of just a capital efficiency thing than it is anything else. That said, if you do get a big move to the upside, you know, it allows you some flexibility to scalp out of it. I had a gentleman that emailed in asking about covered calls. You know, rather than doing the covered calls, why not buy a wing or buy even two or three long options and kind of use it as a way to obviously capitalize on a tail event? But also, if you do have a move to the upside, they allow you a little bit of flexibility to scalp out of that. And I think that's totally justifiable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, kind of a more nuanced position.
For sure. All right, quick little rapid fire to round out the hour. We hear a lot these days about 0 day to expiration trades. What about 1 day trades? Meaning placing a trade at the end of the day and playing it as the market opens the next day, giving you a slight chance to make adjustments. I mean, essentially, it's like we would do for an earnings play almost,
yeah,
in a lot of scenarios, right? So definitely on the board, of course, greater
volatility.
Pain gain.
Yeah.
So you've got that instant gratification, or maybe you're on the flip side of that. But as you kind of alluded to, you know, if you're going to do that type of trading, you need to be by your platform, or like, you know, be comfortable with what you're making and losing, and like what your damage control looks like, or management just in general.
Yeah, you've got some overnight risk there. I mean, that's the one thing you got to keep in mind too. That's that's why the premium stays higher, because like if you're looking at something like SPX doesn't trade, you know, it closes.
Right.
So you have there's volatility baked into that because of, you know, the things that can happen overnight, whether it be market events or whatever.
Yeah. Just a quick update on, or an ask on my Rivian naked put. So I think I did that on the show a couple weeks ago. It was just like a short in the money, just 1 point in the money naked put option. So we have seen a little bit of a bounce in Rivian, very tiny. I mean, still in my eyes, in the chop fest, if you will.
Yes.
I'm up like $34 on the position. I got filled on that at 186. So despite, you know, being up $30, I'm going to be a little stingy and hold out for a little bit more. I still have 22 days left. So ideally, this is when we start to see some premium really start to come out of these options. So yeah, working in the right direction, but not necessarily ready to free up the buying power in this trade just yet.
I like it. I just closed it. I think when you did that, I did a little bit of a different trade. It was kind of like a pseudo poor man's cover call, but I sold an extra call against the position. So I was long the 7.5 call in May, short 2 of the 12.5s in April.
Oh, nice.
I did the whole thing at 270. I just closed it out for 325, took $55 out of it. So
very good.
Yeah, not too shabby for 2 weeks.
Not too shabby, yeah, for sure. RKT has been on the upside. Can you take a look? RKT. Like Rocket Mortgage or something?
Yeah. I think this is in the similar like Rivian trade camp. Poor man's cover call, in the money put, something like that is probably, you know, where I would lean if you want to get long it.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a ton. I don't, you know, with $10 or $15 stocks, I don't like to have the upside risk. So that's how I would lean, or at least hedge some of the upside risk. My Rivian position, you know, I had a pretty big buffer to the upside. So.
For sure. All right. It's 12 o'clock. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, it's lunchtime. I'm starving.
It's lunchtime. I guess this was a Todd selection, but Todd is not here. So the jury is out on what we're going to be walking into over there. But anyways, thank you all as always for joining us. If you want to see anything in future episodes, just tweet at us. I'm at Trader Katie. Mikey returning next week at Trader Mikey B. Nikki, my homie, at Trader Nikki Bat. Have a great long weekend. Happy Synthetic Friday. See you at last call for the SPX close. We'll figure out who's
winning some Tom Bucks.
Who's winning some Tom Bucks. Good luck. Good trading.
Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered